4 out of 5 doctors recommend watching The Rangers Flames second period if you are having trouble sleeping. Brian Compton hasn't slept in 3 years until he watched that second period.
Holy smokes, was that bad. But at least they found a way in the third.
That's all that matters.
Let's do a show.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Adam Rotter, and Nick Lacalzi here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with Craig Button from TSN in just a few minutes. Adam, we have to stop talking about bad Henrik Lundqvist and good Henrik Lundqvist because he bounces back again.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we've been talking about the last few weeks. I think this is going to be the new normal, or hopefully this is now it, and the Henrik will be fine without 4 straight 5-day breaks in a row in 1 month, because that was really helpful to his game.
Nick, the second period, as we mentioned at the start of the show, was not very watchable, to be kind. But they found a way in the third period.
I think, again, we're still seeing the Rangers win in a variety of ways, Brian, which is good. But at some point, they had to find consistency to their game, right? Like you said with Lundqvist, I think him finally getting into a rhythm now and going forward will be tremendous. Hayes is back tonight, I believe. So the Rangers will be healthy for, I don't know what, the fourth time all season. But you got to hope that the forwards finally being healthy, Lundqvist maybe getting in a groove. The defense is just the last piece of the puzzle if they can get it going.
Yeah, as far as consistency goes, Chris Kreider has really found it, and Michael Grabner. Those are the two guys who have probably been their most consistent players.
Yeah, and we've talked about Grabner
forever.
Every week.
Because he keeps scoring goals.
I still don't buy it.
All right, hold on. At what point do you buy in? Is it 40 goals? Is it 50? I mean, he's not getting to 50, I don't think.
It's hard for me to buy. Like, I can buy in on him for this season. But it's very hard for me to look ahead, which I'm trying not to do, and think, oh, well, they have to keep Michael Grabner because he's going to get 30 goals next
right.
year. When it's entirely possible he'll score 35 goals this season and score 6 all of
it's
next season.
It's very possible.
So that's why I always kind of hedge my feelings on Grabner. But Kreider's been great.
He's tremendous.
He's scored, you know, 21 goals now, 3 straight years, 21 goals in, I think, under 50 games when that's what he scored in full seasons the past 2 years. His game has really come a long, long way in the past year.
Up to 21 goals, Nick.
I mean, that shot was absolutely lethal. Going bar down, not really a top-notch angle there, using the defenseman as a screen. He just blew it right by the goaltender. And to me, I saw a shot coming along for Kreider in the preseason when he was picking short side over the goalie's shoulders. And in the past, that was a shot that Kreider blew wide, you know, 6-7 out of 10 times, and it really kept his goal total down. Now you're seeing him put that shot in the back of the net, even with some consistency. He's not just using his speed to score, and that is a tremendous asset. 30 is the number for me with Chris Kreider. Really have to hope he stays healthy here and finishes strong, because I think that'll do a lot for Kreider's confidence is hitting that 30 mark.
You got to think Kreider will get to 30, right?
Well, with Kreider, it's kind of weird because I could see him get to 30. I could see him end up with 40 based on the amount of pucks that just go off of him, the amount of pucks that he tips in. So I think that, you know, I think 30 is very realistic. I mean, there's still a lot of hockey left. But, you know, I wouldn't bet my life on him getting more than that. But, you know, he plays a game in front of the net where pucks just tick off of him. And, you know, he had that hat trick a few weeks ago where he didn't really score any of the goals.
Yeah.
They all just went off of him. So, you know, if the puck's going to be – if he's going to be a magnet to the puck right now, I think that, you know, really any number is possible.
I think he will get to 30, Nick, but I don't think he has to, especially if guys like Grabner and even Rick Nash, who's quietly had a pretty good year, injuries aside, right?
I agree. I don't think he has to get to 30. I think right now it's a disappointment if he doesn't get to 30
yeah.
with needing just 9 more in, what, something like 30 games left, but – he doesn't have to from the Ranger standpoint. I think it will be huge for Chris Kreider to get to 30 from the Chris Kreider standpoint. And if he could establish himself as a 30-goal scorer in the NHL, you know, he got the contract already, but it'll finally put some of the questions aside of can Kreider get 30 goals And I think that'll help him more than anything else going forward.
And Adam, much to Nick's chagrin, Jesper Fast was tremendous on Sunday.
I heard that Nick, like, threw something through his TV, that the house may have burned down, that, you know, Jesper after that goal. But
the block shot at the end.
He's a great player. He's not a great player.
All right, pump the brakes.
He's a great player for what he does. Right. He's a great role player. I think we all agree that he probably plays up in the lineup a little bit more than he should, but that's responsibility. You know, you can put him with two guys who are lacking on defense and at least know that you've got one guy who's not gonna, you know, totally mess up. You know, he's a reliable guy, and he's someone who I think is more important to find a way to protect than Grabner is for the expansion draft. Because you need Nick, you need role players. Are how you win. And
I agree with that. Like
Jesper Fast is a much more consistent role player than Michael Grabner is.
I'm just going to sit here and let you two go back and forth. This is tremendous.
To some extent, I agree with you, but I will take Grabner's inconsistency and the potential for 25 goals than Fast's consistent 12 goals. Or 6 or 9 goals. He's in that same range. I think Grabner brings a lot more to the tables. I think if you look around the NHL, there's probably, 25 other Jesper Foss in the NHL.
Then the Rangers better get one of them if he's not there next year. Because they're gonna miss him immensely if he gets picked, and I think it would be a very wise choice by Vegas to take him.
I think they would miss him, but I think Lindberg can fill that role. I don't think he's that far ahead of some of the generic fourth liners in the NHL.
Before we get to Craig, how about the Buchnevich fight? That was tremendous.
He's
not the fight itself, but the fact that he actually dropped the glove.
He's showing a lot of different aspects. Not that he's a fighter, but, you know, that's something that, you know, he's engaged. You can tell that this isn't a guy who's going to go back to Russia after 1 year. This guy, he wants to be here. He's learning. He's immersing himself. He's going to be good. And I think, you know, just because we have to relate everything to Grabner and the expansion draft, he's going to pick up the goals that the Rangers are going to lose with Grabner next year.
Nick, did you read Larry Brooks' story on how the fight went down?
I did not, actually. I'm disappointed because I love Brooks.
He had the dialogue of between Buchnevich and Versteeg. Buchnevich said, "He say yes, I say no. He say yes, I say yes."
And then he just that's incredible. Buch is one of those guys who's playing on the fourth line right now at the expense of Jesper Fast, but we won't get into that. But he's going to fight his way back into the line, into the top nine, I think. And look, with Kevin Hayes coming back, the Rangers have extra top nine forwards right now, and it's a very good problem to have.
It sure is. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Joining us now on Rangers Blue Line is our good friend Craig Button. Craig, Brian Compton, and Nick Lacalza here in New York. How are you?
I am really, really good. How are you guys today?
We're doing great. Thanks for coming on the show again. We always appreciate your time. All right, Henrik Lundqvist, kind of Jekyll and Hyde, a couple of good games here in a row, which is nice to see, right?
Yeah, last week when Henrik had a really good game, and, you know, he said after the game, he said, you know, getting back in there and competing was really important. And, you know, at times, you know, I think that we forget about goaltenders, you know, getting into the net, just sometimes just finding a way to get the puck stopped. You know, they work, and they're working on their technical positioning and those technical aspects of the game on a regular basis. But it's not all sometimes about the positioning. Sometimes you got to just, you know, make a play. And it's no different for goaltenders. And I think that Henrik recognized that. And, you know, he's not afraid of work. And I think that, you know, and that work is watching what's going right, understanding what's not going right, and then working on the parts that you have to improve upon. And I think that when you achieve at the level that Henrik Lundqvist has achieved that, you have that in you, and I think that he's recognized that and really gotten back to work. But, I mean, I'm a big believer that when you have a large body of work of extreme, extreme success, yeah, okay, you might have some stretches that aren't so good, but they're small stretches. You gotta defer to me to the larger body of work, and that doesn't mean that you're not watching to see if this is a trend. But at the same time, I think Henrik Lundqvist has been too good for too long to start to suggest now that he's not capable any longer. I mean, yeah, he's a little bit older. We know that. But at the same time, you know, he has demonstrated that he has been one of the NHL's very best goaltenders for a long period of time. So, you know, I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt in that regard.
Craig, it sounds like you're a believer in Henrik Lundqvist, and I am too. With the Rangers forward group up front, then, I mean, that means that the Rangers are a contender if you're thinking that Lundqvist is going to find his game back, no?
Well, yeah, I think they are. I think the Rangers did a really nice, I wouldn't call it subtle, but it was one of those, I think when you start to look at small, maybe small is the wrong word also, but the moves that needed to happen. They needed to get quicker on the blue line. So they had drafted Brady Shea in the first round. They go and get Nick Holden. And now those players are able to come into the lineup, and I think they've given them really good play. And by extension, it's not put other players like a Dan Girardi into spots that he may not be able to handle as well as he once did. And, you know, it allows Ryan McDonough to be freed up from some other things. And you see the year that Ryan McDonough's had. Then you think about the speed up front in their forward group. You know, the additions that they made in their group, you know, made them a faster team. They're faster on the blue line overall. They're faster in their forward group. And when you look back last year to the Pittsburgh Penguins and, you know, what Mike Sullivan really did, he unleashed the speed for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I think that's a big hallmark for the New York Rangers now as you know, without first-round picks, you know, trying to make some maneuvers in the past couple of seasons, trading those picks and some prospects that, you know, I think they did a real nice, maneuvers in the summertime to get their team where it's at currently.
Craig, Chris Kreider had been a maddening player in this town for a long time. Everybody saw the skill. He just couldn't find that consistency. Here he is now banging on the door to score potentially 30 goals. How huge is it for Kreider personally and for the Rangers that he's found this consistency?
Yeah, you know, players are going to mature at different rates. And, you know, I think there's also another factor, too. And another big factor is, you know, you draft a player and you look at a player and go, oh, boy, we love what he does. And, oh, my Lord, he skates so well and he's got power. He's going to be a 40-goal scorer. And just because you project somebody to be a 40-goal scorer doesn't mean he's capable of that.
Right.
So I think that there's an adjustment of expectations, and I think there has to be. When there isn't, you run the risk of making a bad trade and somebody that you go, uh-oh, why did we do that? But and then I also think the other part of it is the player understanding, okay, this is what your abilities are. Daryl Sutter's always said, don't give me, here's what I think you're capable of. I'm not going to ask you to give me more, but don't give me less.
Right.
That's what maturity is. It's about understanding that. And I think for Chris Kreider, he is at that point now in the maturation process where he gives you what he has. You know, it's not going to be a 40-goal scorer. He's not going to be that player. And I think everybody recognizes it, but also at the same time, it's not there hasn't been that fall off, in over stretches of for Chris Kreider. And I think that's been really important for him.
I agree with you there, Craig. He really balanced out his game going forward here. The Rangers' defense, I mean, the standings are all jumbled up, but with the trade deadline coming up, you have to figure the Rangers are looking for a defenseman. Do you see any teams falling out of it or anybody going to be on the market that you could see them making a push for?
Well, here's what I really believe. I mean, we know Arizona and Colorado are out of it.
Right.
You know, I think that the Tampa Bay Lightning, by trading Nesterov last week to Montreal, they signaled that if a deal makes sense for them, they're going to move. I mean, it just looks like one of those years. They're not a Stanley Cup contender. I think a real key as we head into the trade deadline, in just about 3 weeks' time, is that you better recognize where you're at as a team. The St. Louis Blues are not a contender. To me, and now they lose Robbie Fabry, you better start looking at what you can get to maximize your team going forward. And, you know, like, I understand the playoffs, and I, like, you know, people talk, but again, you got to look at what's going to help you be a contender long-term. If you want to stay in that middle group of just, you know, inching into the playoffs and just clawing your way into the playoffs and you're out quick, I don't think that helps your team long-term. So I think teams have to be very realistic. I look at St. Louis, I look at Tampa Bay as two teams. you know what? The Boston Bruins might have to find themselves in that spot. I know that they changed their coach, Claude Julien, but I don't think that changes what you're trying to do. They got a bevy of young prospects playing in college and playing in junior hockey in Canada. But you know, that team's not a contender. So don't fool yourself. And a lot of teams fool themselves. I think that the trade deadline can present real opportunity for teams that are looking for certain types. You know, you look at a Kevin Shattenkirk. I don't know what the cost would be for the New York Rangers to acquire him. But Kevin Shattenkirk would be a real nice addition to any team, including the Rangers. But for me, if I'm the St. Louis Blues, hey, here's my number. Here's the bidding. Let's let it begin, and we'll go from there. That's how I'd be handling it if I was St. Louis.
Craig, what has happened to Kevin Klein?
You know, it's a really good question.
It's stunning.
Because you think back and you think about how good he was, and he was one of the players that was really consistent and really, you know, added a lot of different elements to the team, and quite frankly, surprised me somewhat. But you know, I'm not so sure if the injuries have piled up on him. I mean, Kevin is you know, you play hard and you really, or maybe it's just a question of, hey, listen, you know what, you reach a point in time where it's just, it becomes a little bit more difficult for you, and you lose a half a step or a quarter a step, and you recognize that, and you can't initiate as much as you did, you know. And again, that's where it might not be so much about, you know, can Kevin Klein do the same things as he once did, as much as it is, okay, he can still do certain things. How do we get him into that area again where we can maximize where he's at today, instead of looking at what he was and where he can't get to any longer? I think that becomes a real big part of evaluation.
Yeah, hopefully he snaps out of it for sure. Craig, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Always my pleasure.
Thanks again to Craig Button. And I asked him the million-dollar question, and we talk about this every week, Adam. What has happened to Kevin Klein? It is baffling.
He
was horrible again Sunday.
And I think the most important thing Kevin Klein has to do is go back to the shaved head or the mohawk. I don't know. At this point, there's really nothing else you can do. You just have to try and see what else is out there to change and hope that something catches fire and lets you play well for three games in a row.
You know what? We didn't even talk about this earlier. Why did Mark Stahl play on Sunday when he didn't feel well before the game?
Also a very,
that
very
is baffling.
Good question.
You have a healthy Adam Clendenning just sitting there. Why didn't he play?
Vigneault has been brilliant with the forwards. He pushed all the right buttons with Antti Raanta in net, but his handling of the defense has left a lot to be desired for 2 years now.
I'm not even talking about, like, ice time and pairings. The man didn't feel well. Why is he playing?
I had the exact same thought. When I heard after the game that he was sick and throwing up before the game, and then he took an IV in between periods and then continued to play,
it's absurd.
Something about that just seemed very wrong.
Nick, Clendenning was good.
Yeah,
it's not like Clendenning was bad.
Yeah, I didn't understand that move at all. Nick, are you going to buy Whaler season tickets when the Islanders move to Hartford?
Could you imagine?
This is so ridiculous.
Just find somewhere to play.
This is my
right?
life now. This is every day I get questions about this garbage. It's garbage.
They're not moving to Hartford.
Right.
Ever.
Just pack them in shoulder to shoulder at the Coliseum and roll with 13,200.
They're staying.
You'll sell out every game.
They're staying in Brooklyn, brother. You can check out the Islanders Punk Bike Podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We spoke with Chris King, the Islanders radio voice, this week. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Punk Bike Podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Big home stand coming up here, Adam. And the biggest thing for me, it's against Western Conference teams. The chance for the Rangers to, I don't think they're going to catch Pittsburgh, but they're still within striking distance.
It gives them a few games to, I don't want to say experiment or try a few different things or possibly, you know, sit a guy who might be sick and play a healthy defenseman. I don't know. Maybe that's not something that they want to do. But this is a chance for them to try and, you know, get their game to be a little bit more consistent. These games aren't as high stakes. There's the potential for more snooze fests with these games before, you know, next week when you have Columbus and then the Islanders, which are obviously much more high intense games. But, you know, these are games just for the Rangers, I think. I don't want to call them practice games because they all matter, but they're games for the Rangers to work on things.
And with Colorado in town, Kreider might get the 30 goals on Saturday.
It's entirely possible. He might score 30 goals on Saturday.
The schedule upcoming outside of Colorado, though, is not easy. The West Coast teams are good. There's a lot of Columbus, the Capitals, the Islanders. Brian, to me, the homestand's a big test, but really this month, I think the Rangers need to stay healthy, number one,
without
now that their
doubt.
Forwards are healthy. Try and find lines that work all the way through as far as your top 12 forwards. Figure it out so after the trade deadline, you can make your push for the playoffs with consistency. Get Henrik Lundqvist, you know, as many games as possible where he gets into his rhythm. You don't want to overplay him, but he's got to find his rhythm. And then let this defense shake itself out and see where the hole is, because, man, you look up and down these standings, Brian, and if the Rangers find themselves in the number one wild card, you look at it, I mean, it's going to be tough to catch Pittsburgh or Columbus. It's not impossible. Look, they're in striking distance, but you want the other side of the bracket in these playoffs.
Sure, just ask the Islanders. They can tell you.
But I don't even think it's as – I guess it's a similar thing. Look, the first round wouldn't be easy against the Canadiens. That's a very tough
I want no part of Carey
matchup.
Price in the first round.
You know, but
the Rangers
have
Chris Kreider. That's all taken care of.
Oh, man.
I'd much rather face Carey Price in Washington or Pittsburgh.
I don't know. If you beat the Capitals in game one of that series, then doubt starts to creep in. I think the Rangers can beat the Capitals.
I just think that Washington's way deeper as far as a team.
Oh, for sure. And they're playing very well. I don't know if it was because of the All-Star break and the bye week or both, but it seemed like Kevin Hayes missed more than five games.
It seems like he's been out for about 3 years
right now.
I don't even remember the last time Kevin Hayes played. I think it was on a line with Mark Messier and
Glenn Anderson.
It was forever ago, but, you know, he'll be back tonight in his normal spot with between Miller and greatest Ranger of all time, Michael Grabner. And he should, you know, he just brings more depth to the Rangers. It gives them their full complement to forwards.
It is 11:30 on Tuesday morning. I have not checked my Twitter. Do we know who's coming out for Hayes?
No. Not yet.
Who do you think is going to come out?
Well, you figure the fourth line, it's either Peary or Lindbergh, right? Because Faust and Booch will be on the fourth line.
Pumple's not playing.
Pumple is not playing. There we go.
You know it wasn't going to be 19. His jersey retirement ceremony's got to be coming up.
You want to sit Jesper Fast after he scores the game-winning goal?
No, man. I'm actually shocked that he's on the fourth line. When you were going through the lines right there, I thought – you said greatest Ranger ever. I thought it was going to be Faust on the third line with Hayes and Miller.
Oh, no, I was quoting you as greatest Ranger ever from Michael Grabner.
They don't have to do it now, but I'm guessing Brandon Peary will be waived at some point.
I think he's going to get waived or traded because he's really interesting because he has the most potential of any of the guys to make a big difference who are sitting out, but he also has the biggest cap hit. And you assume that the Rangers are going to want to try and get as much cap space as possible heading into the deadline. So I wouldn't be surprised if they waived him and moved him to Hartford and saved a lot of money. Or if they tried to use him as a chip to get, you know, a Brandon Peary equivalent defenseman to battle Adam Clendening, you know, for Connect Four in the press box.
They're not getting anything more than a draft pick for Peary, right?
I don't think you would. I mean, what are you getting at this point?
Nothing.
I feel like, is Lindbergh a better fourth line? I mean, if you want to go defensive, then Lindbergh's a fourth line center. But, I mean, Peary still provides a little bit of a weapon on the power play.
Well, Adam called it like Babe Ruth in the 32 World Series back in September. Brandon Peary is a power play guy and nothing more, right?
If you had a DH, you'd put Brandon Peary in every single game. Because that's the thing. Like, you see him wind up on the power play and you think, this is going in, and then it misses the net, and he's just not consistent enough. And you know, what was it, 2 years ago he scored 22 goals, and then he got traded at the deadline last year for a sixth round pick. I mean, that's ultimately what I think the Rangers would probably get unless they used him with something else to get a defenseman. But still, you know, he's an okay guy.
And he won't be here for very much longer. Fellas, great show. Big week for the Rangers coming up against Western Conference team. Chance to maybe catch the Penguins or the Blue Jackets for third place. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.